Hello everyone, yeah, like Richard said, my name is Paul. It's really great being here this morning. I am one of the elders in Bloemfontein congregation, used to lead our evening Bloem PM, and then recently with Leonard that moved from the Stellenbosch area, we felt just to merge everything together, and it's been such a great season for us. A lot of visitors, a lot of people, like it's quite overwhelming at times, right? And then the one thing that I felt the Lord just kind of highlighting to us is that healthy things grow, right? Healthy things grow. And it's a term that we often throw around. You might have heard it if you're in Joshin. If you've been in Joshin for a while, you've heard it. Healthy things grow. And it's a bit close to home for me because like you might have noticed, I'm quite short, right? And, growing up, I was in and out of hospitals quite a lot, just in the early stages, just figuring out why am I not growing, right? And there's a sense of, and I'm not insecure about those things, but there's something really significant that when, you know, growth is a good thing. Overgrowth can be a bad, you know, but growth generally is a good thing. And then we should, I just want to almost caution us, sometimes in church, we can have this mentality that it must just be us in our little bubble. Right? We just want to have our little group. It's safe. We know the people. But at the core of God's heart is that we would reach out, that we would get more people in. Not for numbers' sake, not for making it look, but because God wants us to pull people in. Because do you realize that somewhere, someone pulled you in? And if they didn't, this morning might have looked different for you. You might have gone for a drive or played golf or whatever. And you might have enjoyed that, but you would have been dead on the inside. But because someone pulled you into family, because someone pulled you to the table of God, you can now know Jesus as your Savior. And that for us, we always need to be those that pull people in and say, come to the table of God. Come into the house of God. We should never stop. Like never. Our heart should always be to reach others. Anyway. I'm running ahead of myself. I want to show you guys two pictures. I don't know, where is that? It's the AV up there. Okay, awesome. Can you put on the first or second picture? Yes, that one is perfect. Thank you. So, that is the Dead Sea. All right? Coming from Bloemfontein, obviously, we're going to be spending a bit of the week here in Cape Town. This is Cape Town for us, right? I don't know if I'm offending anyone. If you can see the ocean, it's Cape Town. Right? On our way here, I did not imagine that as my ideal holiday destination. Right? Because it's quite, the picture doesn't do it justice, but it's quite dead. That's why it's the Dead Sea. Right? But there's something of, there's no life there, there's no fish. I wouldn't really enjoy going for holiday there. It looks nice on a photo, but being there, it's quite salty, it's a lot of stuff. And then compared to the second photo, you can put on the second photo. I mean, wow. Yes, makes me think of Bloemfontein. You know, it's like right, Isel, Bloemfontein, flashbacks, yeah. Right. So that is the Sea of Galilee, right? And I mean, that's a lot of life there. It looks quite fun to be there. It looks quite, you know, I can imagine myself on a holiday there for a weekend compared to the first one. Do you guys agree with me? I wouldn't want to go to the first one, other than just, you know, sightseeing. But it looks like there's life there, it's vibrant, there's some sheep there. You know, that's what I meant of Bloemfontein. And it's interesting that the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea are both fed by the Jordan River. Both those pictures has got the same inflow. They've got the same source. But here's the key difference. The Sea of Galilee has got an outflow and there's life. The Dead Sea has got no outflow and it's dead. Likewise, in our Christianity, I believe that it's the same picture. When we have an outflow of our Christianity, we become like the Sea of Galilee, where there's life. You know, the things are happening. When we shut off, when we stop having an outflow, we become like the Dead Sea. And I know it sounds quite like, oh, you're calling me a Dead Sea. No, but it says we need to have an outflow. Whatever that outflow is, we need to have an outflow. And then the thing I want to speak on this morning is inviting visitors or reaching people. Because that is probably our best way of outflowing into the world. We can't just have Jesus as our source, but no outflow. Thank you. So the title of my message this morning is Come and See. Come and See. Right, because evangelism is such a daunting thing, isn't it? Who of you, okay, don't maybe raise your hands, right? Because I'm sure you won't, because it's daunting raising your hand, right? But for most of us, the idea of evangelizing or telling someone about Jesus is quite intimidating. You might say, yes, yes, let's say we have Luke Watson here again, and he preaches up, everyone's like wants to jump up. We're going to go, we're going to take the nations, right? And we have the best evangelist week in, week out here, and we preach, and everyone gets fired up. We're going to reach the world. And you wake up tomorrow morning, and you're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell the first person I see about Jesus. And you stop at your work, and you're like, hey. Is it just me? It's cool to be excited here, but we need to implement it as we go. And the whole concept of, I'm going to lead you to Jesus. I'm going to just walk straight up to you. Have you heard about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? That is great. If you've got the boldness to do it, do it. But for most of it, it's quite intimidating. And I want to say to you this morning, let's just start somewhere. Let's start with a baby step this morning. Let's start with something of an outflow. Have you seen those clips on YouTube or Facebook, Instagram, whatever, where it's the ocean and it's the beach and then there's like a dam there. I don't know what you call it. There's water. And then they dig it open and then they funnel the water from the land through to the ocean. Have you seen those videos? And then as the water goes, it runs quicker and quicker and that thing becomes broader. Have you seen it? And it's quite, and then the guy's surfing that little channel thing. You know, some of you have seen it. Likewise, it's the same with our Christian. Just start with a little flow. Just a little flow. And once that thing starts flowing, you'll start to see you get confident. You start to see, I reach out to more people. I invite more people. So the point this morning is, let's just do it this week. Let's lead people to Jesus. But if there's only one thing that you can do this week, it's invite someone to church. I know evangelism and inviting someone to church is not the same thing. You know, like evangelizing is telling people the good news, right? But inviting them to church is a part of that. That is the easiest way you can have someone say, come and see Jesus. If you don't know what to say about Jesus, just get them to come with you to see Jesus. Because I can promise you this. Jesus can reveal himself to your friend better than you can explain it to him. In John 1, verse 40 to 42, I want to show you the power of an invite. The power of an invite. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who had heard what John the Baptist said and then followed Jesus. So this guy hears about what John the Baptist is saying about Jesus and he follows Jesus. And it says here, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, we have found the Messiah, which means the Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, you are Simon, the son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter. Have you guys heard of Peter in the Bible? Yeah? You know the one that walked on water? Also the one that denied Jesus 3 times, I know, right? But he walked on water. He wrote a couple of books. No, he was the guy that was preaching at Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved. You know the early church was 3,000 people, right? He was like, the early church was a mega church. It is. And it's not wrong being big. It's wrong being unhealthy. Right, in our heart should always be, man, we don't care about, is it big or is it small. We want health and we want people to come and see Jesus. You can have something that's big and healthy. It's just not often. But you can. So please, guys, I think as Josh Jenner's whole, we sometimes need to be cautious that we don't become anti-big. We almost become anti, no, we're anti-unhealthy. We're not anti-big. Right. Anyway, Peter, this is the guy that most people have heard about. But you know who led him to Jesus? Andrew. This other guy that we read his name, but other than that, we don't see much, do we? You realize someone led Richard to the Lord. And he's planted, 20, 30 churches? 40, okay. How many have you planted? Okay, so 20, yes. I'm kidding. A lot. And someone later, you know, invited him to come and meet Jesus. Someone invited Hoya to church, and he got saved at church. And because of that, I got saved. And because of that, now I can bless you with this amazing sermon. You know, you see how the invite, the power of an... I'm sorry, I make jokes often. The power of an invite. It's interesting to me that Andrew's instinct when he met Jesus wasn't his ministry, wasn't his calling, wasn't his best life. It was, I need to find someone and bring them along. You know the Holy Spirit's working in you when you there's something in you that says, I need to share this. I need to share this. Whenever whenever the early believers got filled of the Spirit in Acts, whenever they got filled of the Spirit, there was boldness to proclaim. Yes, they prophesied. Yes, they started speaking in tongues. I want to say those things aren't the only sign that you're filled. If you want to know if you're filled of the Holy Spirit, it's a boldness to share and bring people to Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning, if there's something in you that's like, it's actually quite daunting to me. I'm trusting that you would ask the Lord this morning, Lord, I need to be filled again. Not for me to speak in tongues or to prophesy, but it's for the world's sake, that they might come to know you. And so some of us say, you know, it's great because Peter and Andrew were brothers and it was quite easy. But if you just carry reading on in John 1 verse 45 to 46, read about Philip and Nathanael. Philip went off to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. How many have done this? You tell someone, hey, would you come to church? Do you want to come to church with me? It's like, church. Church. Can anything good from church? Can come good from church? You know? Can anything good come from there? And then Philip says this. Just come and see for yourself, Philip said. Just come and see for yourself. If there's anything we can take this morning, is that we should, week in, week out, when we speak to people, would you like to come to church with me? That is such an easy sentence. Or community, but we invite. Because, you know, they'll say, nah, I'm busy on a Sunday, or nah, I don't like this church thing, or nah, it feels fake. Or you can say, just come and see. Just come and see. Because like I said, you know, I don't have the rest of the scripture, but what happens is Nathanael then goes and he sees. And Jesus looks at him and says, when you were still under the tree, when Philip got you, I saw you. And you see this guy, Nathanael, going like, whoa, what good can come from Nazareth? And then he sees. Then he sees Jesus. He encounters the Lord. How many of us have that encounter where the Lord just cuts into your heart? You're down in the dumps, or you think your life's, you know, you're the main guy. And then Jesus comes and he just puts his finger on your heart. And you're like, wow, he's real. Wow. Man, the Lord does that. He's in the business of saving people. He just invites people. Nathanael was skeptical quite a lot. But all Philip said is, come and see for yourself. So don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying we should not evangelize. I'm saying the easiest thing we can do is invite people to church. It's the easiest thing you can do. But it's also quite daunting. And I think there's actually a couple of reasons why we feel it quite daunting. Probably mainly two things that I've seen. The first is like a fear of rejection, right? We're afraid of, what if they say, no, I don't want to come to church. Or they push us away. Have you felt that? That's probably the biggest reason we don't invite someone to church. Have you been in a coffee shop or at work and you think to yourself, you know what, I'm going to invite someone to church. I'm going to invite this guy. And then in your mind, you're like, what if they say no? What if they think I'm weird? What if they think I'm like those happy clappies? What if there's a fear of rejection? I want to say, if you invite someone and they reject you, if you never see them again, why fear? You're not going to see them again. Who cares? What are they going to do? You know? If you do see them again, if it's like a colleague or your favorite coffee shop's barista, look, inviting a barista or a waiter to church is great. Because if you go there next week, they're going to serve you. They're going to smile because you tipped them. They might reject you, but next time you're there, like, can I take you? You know, they're going to be friendly. Don't worry. But if you see someone again, you can build on that relationship. So why fear? We're excited to invite people to paddle. We're excited to invite people to golf. We're excited to invite people to things. When it comes to the thing that saved us, when it comes to the house of God, we're like, you want to come to church? Why are we excited about worldly things, but when it gets to the kingdom of God, we freeze? People want Jesus. Most of them just don't know it yet. Invite them, man. The second thing is, like, we often just don't know what to say. You can come to me afterwards. I'll give you this. It's easy. Hi. My name is Paul. You can put your own name there. You don't need to say you're me. Especially the girls. You can. You're not Paul. Hi, my name is Paul. I would love to invite you to church. I think you'd really enjoy it. We start at, what's this place called? What's this called? We start at 9 at Beaumont on Sundays. Beaumont. How easy was that? Hi, my name is Paul. Would you like to come to church with me? I think you'd love it. 9 o'clock Sunday at the school. It's quite easy. Right? Yes, and you know what's a bit like a pet peeve, you know, the thing that really kind of gets you going. When we speak about evangelism, we often say, you know what? Friendship evangelism is better than like going into the streets and with a megaphone. And I honestly agree with that. I think building a bridge, building a friendship, and using that to reach people is better. But you know what's not better? Building that bridge for years and absolutely never inviting the person to church. Because we use friendship evangelism as an excuse to just stay quiet. Now, I'm still building the bridge. You're just inviting them to church. You're not asking them for money. You're not asking them to marry your daughter. You're inviting them to church. You've invited them 100 times to paddle, but when it gets to church, you're like, no, I need to just build that bridge a bit more. You know? Why? Sorry, I know I'm a bit sarcastic here and there, but I share this because I think like that. No, I need to build that bridge for it. It's excuses. It's excuses. And I feel I can share it with confidence because that's me. I sit there with excuses. Let me tell you a funny story. A couple of weeks ago, we were on outreach in Kimberley, in the Northern Cape. And we're driving there and I shared a similar message to this. But I just focused on Luke 14 and inviting people in and so on. And then on my way there, I'm just reading through my notes, making sure I'm ready. That's like the Saturday. And I felt the Lord saying, Paul, if you're going to preach this, you better walk it. Oh, okay. Now I'm like, okay, I need to find a way. I need to invite someone because I don't want to be the guy that, you know, Jesus says of the Pharisees, they tell you do this, but they don't want to put on that burden on themselves. And as leaders, we should be those that if we say something, we do it. We model it, right? And for a guy that's in full-time ministry, it's difficult because I can try and evangelize in my office, but hopefully it doesn't work. You know, I don't want to lead anyone to Jesus in my office because I'm, you know, they should be saved already. Right? And I told my wife, I'm like, hey, Liffy, when we get to Kimberley, we drive straight to Plato. And I'm going to walk in there. I'm going to invite the first people I see. I'm just going to walk up to them and I'm going to tell them, hey, I'm Paul. Would you like to come to church tomorrow? Like, how hard could it be? And now we're going. Now I'm stressing. The closer we get to Plato, it's like, you. Because the Plato in Bloemfontein is quite small. The Plato in Kimberley, when I got there, was quite big. And I walked in there, and in the first table right in front of me, probably about 6 or 7 Muslim girls. But like with full body armor, you know. They're there. And I walked in, and I froze. I'm like, I overthought it. I was like, oh, I don't, it's going to be awkward. I don't want to feel like I'm trying to debate them about religion. It just felt weird to me. And I chickened out. But I said, I want to walk in it. So I ordered a coffee. And while the barista was making the coffee, I just stood there and I kind of didn't want to look. And then I chatted to her like, hey, what's your name? She said her name. Hey, I don't know. I'm not from here, but would you like to come to church tomorrow? We meet in so-and-so and time and time. And she's like, oh, thank you. I work every second Sunday. Tomorrow I work again, so I won't come. I just think it was an excuse. But I invited her. I don't know if she's going to go. But I invited her. And then can I tell you this? After I did that, I almost got a bit fired up. I'm like, whoo, yes, I did it. Right? You'll see when you invite somebody to church, it's like, whoo, I didn't die. Right? And then as I walked out, there was another lady sitting there with her coffee. And I walked up to her like, hey, sorry if we're bothering you. My name's Paul. Would you like to come to church tomorrow? Right? And she was a bit like, no, I stay outside of town. You know, please leave me. And I was like, okay, it's fine. And I walked and I invited two people. And I'm still here. I didn't die. You won't die if you invite people. Especially in South Africa. I mean, we live in a country where it's fine to invite someone. Especially, like, you just invite them to church. I'm not even shoving anything down your throat. I'm not debating you about religion. I'm just saying, come and see. And in ending, I just quickly want to look at Jesus' example. Right? Because we don't just invite people because it's a good idea. We invite because this was the mission of Jesus. When he came to earth, was to invite people into the kingdom of God. Was to invite people to the table of God. In Luke 14, I'm going to read it through us and it will be done. Luke 14, verse 16, I think we start with. Quick context, Jesus speaks and someone says, oh, how wonderful it would be to attend a banquet of God in the kingdom of God. To attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus replied with this illustration. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When all was ready, he sent his servant, Jesus is the servant in this story, around to notify the guests that it was time for them to come in. Now this banquet table is the kingdom of God. It's when we come to get to know him. We receive forgiveness. But they all began making excuses. One said he had just bought a field and wanted to inspect it. So he asked to be excused. They've got stuff. They've got PlayStations. They've got Xboxes. They've got cars. They've got golf sets. They've got things that's keeping them busy. You will face excuses. Jesus faced excuses. Another said he had just bought 5 pairs of oxen and wanted to try them out. I can't come to church. I've got work. You know, oxen in this context is the thing that they use to work the fields. It's like, I just bought this new thing. I need to work on my business. I need to put in the long hours at work. And I took off on Friday or Thursday, so I need to work Sunday. The world will have excuses. But there was still an invite sent out to them. Another had just been married. So he said, I can't come. Family, kids, I can't come to church. My kids are busy. Nah, there will be excuses. But Jesus sends out an invite. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was angry. Not slightly insecure or upset. His master was angry. Not to step on any toes, but do you know when God stretches out his hand to you, he's like, come, I prepared a table for you. I prepared a spot for you in my kingdom. And when we make excuses and say, no, there's a real sense of God going like, why are you rejecting me? It says here, so go into the streets and alleys. This is the master that spoke to us. Go into the streets and the alleys of the city and invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. You know, and this is what Jesus does, or did. He came to the Jews. He came to the Pharisees. He came to those that has the invite to God's table. They reject him. What does he do then? He goes to not just the physically poor, blind, broken, and crippled, but the outcast of society. Those that everyone overlook because there's room in God's house. After the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So the master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of these I invited first will get even the smallest taste of what I had prepared for them. Folks, there's something, you see Jesus coming to the Jews. They reject. He goes to the outcast of society. They come, but there's still room. And he says, go outside of the city. Go into the highways and the byways. Go beyond the hedges. And that's you and me. He then goes broader to the Gentiles. He says, there's always room. There's still room. If you look around, there's physically still room here this morning. And you know what? When it's full, we pack out more chairs and there's more room. And when there's no more chairs to pack out, we get a bigger building. Or we sit on the floor. But there's always room in God's house. And the point of the story is he says, so that the house will be full. I know that everyone cringes at that concept. But God is saying, come, so that the house will be full. It's not about bums on seats, yes. Man, are we inviting people? Are we inviting people? Folks, I want to say, Jesus is asking us to invite others to the table of God. He is an example. You know, in Matthew 28, verse 18, where he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. You know that thing, to have it on there. You know, he starts that by saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I've always wondered why he says that. You know why he says it? It's not a polite statement. It wasn't to make the disciples feel, yo, this, you know, Jesus is, he's in control. It was like Jesus showing his rank. It's like Jesus standing in front of the disciples saying, I'm in charge here. Therefore, go. It was Jesus' flex to the disciples before he said, now, you know, I'm asking you, I'm telling you to do this. Not in a rude way, but he's saying, man, I'm in charge. I've just been raised from the dead. I've revealed myself to you. I'm going to go now. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Yeah. Now I want you to go and make disciples. When we read it like that, we understand that the expectation on us is that we would go and make disciples and bring people in. Who of you have heard of Albert McMacken? Has anyone heard of Albert McMacken? This great Christian. Has no one really? No one heard about him. Wow. It's the guy that invited Billy Graham to church. No one's heard of him. And because he invited someone, millions of people got saved. Out of Billy's ministry, others got saved. I want to say to you folks this morning, you can have a moment like Albert McMacken. Can't even pronounce his surname. And it's like the thing, our name doesn't mean anything. But I invite people to come and meet Jesus, the name that means everything.